Hello, queers. You're listening to Movies a la Queer. This is Sarita Ramirez. And on this episode, we are going to dive into the first episode of a very highly anticipated series that's coming out at the late summer, if you will. This show had shaked a lot of us up. It was the revival of the all iconic The L Word back in 2004. And now we can happily rejoice that it has been renewed for a season two. And by the looks of it, I will not be surprised if it is renewed for a third season. It might be announced in a few episodes. And without further ado, on this episode, we're talking about The L Word Generation Q, Season 2, Episode 1. Hey, queers. So before we get started on episode one, I just wanted to note that this week, I took an auto straddle quiz to figure out which L Word character will I want and let destroy me. And here I thought it would be Helena or someone as equally toxic and powerful and deranged. But no, it wasn't Helena. In fact, it was Jody, the sculpture artists, the one who was with Bette in like season five. I forgot what season she was in. But the more that I thought about it, the more I agreed. Yeah, I do love American Sign Language. I do love a tortured artist who is super confident and ambitious and world renowned. And she dabbles in non-monogamy. So why not? We can give it a try. But those that do know me and know my fascination with Villanelle and Killing Eve, if you haven't listened to those episodes, they are below. Jodie Comer can literally stomp on my neck. So anyway, let's talk about episode one of season two of The L Word Generation Q. And before I get started, if you don't know this already, I will be recapping the whole episode. So there are spoilers ahead. If you don't like spoilers, I suggest you pause this episode, go watch episode one, and then come back. But if you are like me and you don't mind being spoiled rotten, then please listen on. There's no judgment here. This is a safe space. So this episode opens up with Sophie getting out of a black car, and she's suited up. She looks nice. It's a great fit. She's walking towards what looks like a formal event of some kind, but she looks stressed, like she's nervous, and not really looking forward to what's happening in front of her. When she enters the venue, she's greeted by Danny, who's also in formal attire. Danny smiles at her lovingly, and then we see them kiss and compliment each other on their outfits. Next, we're taken to the reception, and we see that Danny's father is giving a speech to Danny and Sophie. He tells his guests, that he's so happy to welcome Sophie into their family, and that the more and more that he knows Sophie, the happier he is and more impressed. Why do I feel like that's a backhanded comment? I don't know. He's also happy that Sophie and Danny didn't get married in Hawaii, as we were led to believe last season finale. The event that we're looking at now happens to be their rehearsal dinner. So they'll be getting married the next day. We're then given a flashback of 15 hours earlier, and we're following Shane, who actually did end up adopting that dog from the last season. Shane and her dog Mac are going to what appears to be a secret speakeasy of some sort. For those that don't know, speakeasies are bars hidden in plain sight, pretty much. They were inspired by the Prohibition era, which forbade the manufacturing and sale of alcohol in the United States in the 1920s and early 30s. Back to Shane. So Shane is greeted by Eddie, played by Lena Waithe, who appears to be the owner of this bar slash poker game hideout. And oh, Tess is there. Tess is the poker dealer. And apparently she recommended Shane or invited Shane to this poker game. So we'll see what happens there. Then we are brought on over to Alice and Nat, who appear to still be very much together and in love. They are dropping off the kids at their school, and Alice announces that she's just submitted the draft of her book to her publisher, which of course she is. I mean, if we know anything about Alice, we know that she is definitely an overachiever. She loves to go big, and probably one of my biggest inspos of career ever. So they just have dropped off the kids at their school. Oh, and Gigi makes a quick stop into their car. Look, Gigi's around. And she seems to be happy. Last season, they were in a throuple, and it looked as though Gigi was falling again, having these feelings for Nat. And it looks like they left off in a very high note, because Nat chose Alice, and Alice at the end didn't really want to be in this type of throuple situation. But it's good to see Gigi happy and how things have turned out in the end. So we are now with Bette in Bettland, and Bette is still single and living with Angie, her now 17-year-old daughter. And Tina stops by with Carrie, her fiance, played by Rosie O'Donnell. And the two, along with Bette, are wanting to talk to Angie about Carrie and Tina's upcoming wedding. And honestly, Carrie seems very sweet. I mean, she's funny. She definitely has a lighthearted sense of humor that Bette doesn't have. And it's not to pin the two against each other. I just think it's important to show maybe what Tina was looking for, and not just leaving Bette, but perhaps seeking someone that's a bit more lighthearted, a bit more like her. And Bette can be a bit grave in some certain situations. And we're not talking about this season or last season. We're talking more so the first series of The L Word. Bette has always been Bette. Anywho, we also learn that Carrie is a public defender and Bette is not a fan of hers. And I would think that Bette would be impressed by that, because Bette is impressed by powerful individuals and intellect, but she's not a fan of Carrie, which we will find out more later. So Angie tells the two of them, or let's say the three of them, because Carrie is there. Angie tells Carrie and Bette and Tina that, you know, hey, I'm cool with the wedding. Like, I don't really care at all. I'm happy for you guys. That's cool. And if anything, she wants to introduce the idea to her moms that she wants to find out more about her sperm donor. And Bette and Tina are pretty quick in telling her no. You know, not this year. We did promise the donor that it would remain a secret until you turned 18. And then if you wanted to pursue and find out more about them, then you're free to do that. But we did promise the donor that we wouldn't look for you, or we wouldn't expose you to Angie yet. And Angie is a bit hurt by this, but also very understanding. And then Carrie kind of puts her foot in her mouth and says, yeah, but you know what? You can do those ancestry DNA kits and you can find people through there. And Angie's like, oh, yeah, I can do that. And then Bette and Tina are quick to say, no, just one more year. Just wait one more year and you can do whatever you want. So switching back to Sophie and Danny, Danny's stressing over the seating arrangements, and she texts Micah, who we find out is sleeping with Jose again. From last season, Micah found out that Jose is in fact still married and in a very complicated relationship with his spouse. And I'm just hoping that they don't make this whole season about Micah and Jose again. Like, I really want Micah to have his own storyline and to have his own character development, and to go through his own trials and self-love and self-worth exploration. I don't care much about Jose. Sorry. Sorry if I'm in the least popular opinion pile. Least popular opinion pile. Next, we're back with Alice and Sophie at the television studio. And Alice's show is doing really well. Last season, we were told that they were not exactly doing well. And so Alice was like, you know what? I'm going to make my show my way. So she invited Roxane Gay. And then there was that whole commotion with Nat showing up and pretty much professing her love to Sophie. So I'm pretty sure that made excellent, amazing TV. And yeah, the show is doing very well with a very loud audience. And with all that being said, Alice also offers Sophie a promotion to be a senior level producer at the show. And Sophie is just stunned. I mean, she is happy and honored to do so. But then the conversation between her and Alice ends up going into Finley, more so because Alice brings Finley up. She starts asking her, I don't know, why did she leave? Is she coming back? To which Sophie says, no, no, Finley is not coming back. She is not coming back. She is going to stay in Missouri for however long, but she's not coming back here now. And as a refresher, last season, Sophie had an affair with Finley towards the end of the season, especially when it came around to Sophie's grandmother getting sick. She had fallen and she was in the hospital and needed surgery, and Danny wasn't really available for her there emotionally, physically, in any way, because she was busy herself with Bette's campaign. And that was very tough and very complicated. And the one person that was there for her consistently was Finley. And the two of them had this emotional and sexual affair. But anyway, Finley had returned back to Kansas City to her sister's wedding. And I guess she had decided to stay there in the meantime. Switching on over to Bette, Shane, and Alice, the three are hanging out at Dana's bar, Shane's bar that she bought from the last season, and it's doing very well. It now offers a back patio for lunch hour. It's looking amazing. This is the Planet 2.0, but even better, in my opinion, definitely in 2020-21 generation. Bette is complaining about Carrie, and Shane and Alice are nodding in agreement, but kind of like, we know that this is a conversation that you want to have, so we're there for you, kind of attitude. But one thing that Bette does admit is that she's complaining about Carrie because seeing Tina and Carrie together just remind her how lonely she is seeing them together. It's not necessarily about wanting to be with Tina, but more so her feeling alone. But she tells the two, Shane and Alice, that she's looking for someone who's career focused and passionate and maybe has children of their own and single, definitely single, and not in a complicated relationship. Alice and Shane agree with her. They're like, yeah, yeah, we can see that. But you also kind of like more of a wifey wife, Alice tells her, which I can agree. I felt like with Tina was very much her wife, her partner, but also her personal assistant, took care of all the menial things that she just did not want to deal with. And I think that is kind of what Alice and Shane are saying. It's like, yeah, I know you want someone who's also very career driven, but you're also into having someone who will clean up after you in a way. Bette is also hired by this very big shot, big gallery owner, Zakarian, who's also somewhat of a racist guy in Los Angeles, and he's really just interested in getting more BIPOC artists in his gallery. So cool. Back to Alice. Alice tells Sophie that Finley is actually considering coming back to Los Angeles, and Sophie freaks out and tells her, no, Finley is supposed to stay in Kansas City. What are you talking about? And Alice tells her that, yeah, she told Finley that both she and Sophie miss her and that she should just come back. There's a job still waiting for her. And again, Sophie's freaking out, grabbing other people's attention at the studio, which is super unprofessional, by the way. But I get it. I can relate. But she pulls Alice to the side and tells her, okay, Finley and I hooked up last season. We did have like an affair, and she's supposed to be in Kansas City. She's not supposed to come back. Please don't tell anyone, Alice. Which, side note, why would you ever tell Alice anything? You work for this woman. You must know that Alice has the biggest blabbermouth of the whole cast. I'm even surprised that she felt like she could do that. But I will say, Alice does a pretty good job by not talking about it. She doesn't tell anyone, really. At least she doesn't tell anyone in the way that she shouldn't. But more on that later. But Alice is shocked, and she tells Sophie, listen, I won't tell anyone, but I do think that you shouldn't tell anyone either. Like, don't tell Danny, just move forward. Think about the future that you have with Danny. Don't think about the past and just move on. And I think that was pretty great advice. I mean, again, I'm in that least popular opinion pile here, but I do think that, especially if Finley wasn't going to come back and you did see a future with your partner, why hurt them? I may get a lot of shit for that. Flash forward to that evening, we're back with Sophie getting out of the black car, which is the same scene that we began this episode with. Sophie's getting out of that black car, she's going into this venue, and she looks very snazzy, very, very chic. And it just so happens that Sophie's grandmother is okay. Yay! We were wondering what happened to her, because it didn't even show us the results of the surgery. It just kind of glossed over. Anyway, she's fine. Crisis averted. But this time, however, we're more inside Sophie's head. So when we see again Danny's father giving this speech about how he loves Sophie and he's proud of his daughter and blah, 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 it appears that Sophie is having a bit of a panic attack. Her breathing is very heavy. Her vision is clouded. She's trying very hard to focus and be in the moment, but is just having a very hard time. And it also turns out that Micah and Maribel, Sophie's sister, told Micah that Sophie had an affair with Finley. And now Micah's kind of pissed because he's like, hey, you need to tell Danny that you had this affair. To which, I'm sorry, I get it because that's your best friend. Both of them are your best friends, but you are also lying to your friends and you're sleeping with a married person. So who are you to stand on this moral high ground and forcing your friends to talk about this? Yes, you should be a consoling person, but you shouldn't stop them in the middle of their rehearsal dinner and pretty much get inside their head right now. Like, I don't think that's right. Talk to them after. Talk to them before. Don't talk to them right in the middle of the event. I think it's just, I don't know. It makes for good TV, I guess. Whatever. So Bette is getting ready for this blind date that Alice and Nat have set up for her. And I mean, we all know who it is at this point, especially if you watched the trailer for this season of the L Word Generation Q. We know that Bette and Gigi are going to hook up. But Bette is surprised. She did not know that it was going to be Gigi. And Gigi didn't know that it was going to be Bette. So here Gigi arrives at this like fancy restaurant where they have amazing scallops. And she's like, shut the fuck up. Which I'm, again, very happy that the writers are giving Gigi more of a personality, because last season, as much as I was very intrigued by her character, and I just wish that there was more that we can grab into about Gigi and who she was. And I wanted to know who this person was. And you know what? I think Bette is a bit disappointed right when she sees Gigi. She later tells Alice when she recaps the date that it was a bit of a disaster in the beginning, and I can see how she felt that way because she wasn't expecting someone that she already knew. And she was probably also disappointed having already known that Alice, Nat, and Gigi had this like throuple threesome experience. And she probably didn't want to have that kind of sloppy seconds or sloppy thirds, if you know what I mean. But the difference with Gigi is that, yeah, she has a bit of a rougher exterior and she's very confident and drop-dead gorgeous, but she also has an eye for like luxury, which is so Bette. Like right when she sees Bette, she looks at what Bette is wearing and she's like, is that Tom Ford? Who would know that unless you have Tom Ford on a shirt? You know what I mean? I feel like this is something that Bette wants also. Someone with a refined little palate, with fine taste that can share a plate of scallops in this fancy restaurant. And if this night couldn't get fucking weirder, Tina and Carrie show up at the same restaurant, which again, convenient plot twist. Why having these two couples in the same restaurant out of all of Los Angeles that either one of them can go and they can't avoid each other? I mean, you can call it the law of attraction. I call it the law of convenient plot twists. And if that doesn't make it any worse, Bette is kind of obsessed with looking over at Tina and Carrie's table. Gigi is very understanding. She notices this. She notices that Bette is kind of focused in on Tina, and she asks her, does it hurt you to see them together? To which Bette is like, no. And Gigi says, listen, I've been there. It was very hard for me to see Alice with Nat or Nat with Alice, but you get used to it and I'm happy for them and I can move on that way. And I think that turned something on in Beth's head, because then they're like making out, because Gigi's like, come here, very sexily. And Beth is like, all right. I don't know. I don't think Beth deserves Gigi, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So now we're back with Shane and Tess go back to Lena Waithe, aka Eddie's poker hideout bar. And the thing is that Eddie's pissed because Eddie, aka Lena Waithe, sorry, I have to keep reminding myself that her name is Eddie, very annoyed with Shane because Shane was texting her wife. Of course Shane was. I mean, Shane doesn't have any type of like barrier, border, boundary. She just goes ahead with what she feels like doing. So yeah, Eddie's like, you got to get the fuck out and I'll keep that $10,000 you just gave to my handler. Peace out. And that's it. No violence. I do think this was a bit weird. I don't think this was necessary, but I can see why. Because in this scene, there's a bit of like a funny closeness between Shane and Tess. And again, I'm such a huge fan of Tess. I'm a huge fan of Jamie Clayton. I think that she's a wonderful actor. So being here with both of these two, I think that they're trying to spark something. I think the writers are like, okay, I did fuck around with Tess's ex girlfriend last season. I kind of feel bad. She does work in my bar. We have this really good relationship. Maybe this is what I'm feeling this. And the thing is that Tess is very cool because Tess is very forward. And if you see the recap for next week's episode or the one that's coming out this Friday, Tess is confident. And I think that confidence is also what Shane usually goes after. Very confident individuals that stand on their own and don't fucking need her. And she's like, I want her to need me. Because that's Shane. Anyway, Danny and Sophie. So after the rehearsal dinner, Sophie said, okay, I'm going to have to tell Danny what happened. But Danny misreads Sophie's anxiety and tells her, you know what? Let's head out to a club. Let's go to a club and let's celebrate because we're going to get married tomorrow. And Sophie's like, all right, cool. And of course, you tell me if I'm wrong, but would you ever tell your partner that you cheated on them in a club? Yeah, I didn't think so. I think that's not a good place to tell anybody anything except, what are you drinking? Or, you smell nice. What are you wearing? I have a lot of game. But yeah, and funny thing is, Sophie doesn't say anything. But we find out something else that's pretty juicy, and that's that Danny actually had a crush on Beth, which we fucking knew. We knew that she had a crush on Beth. We knew that those puppy eyes of looking at this role model in front of her, it could have either been that she wanted to fuck her or she wanted to be her daughter. And now we know that it was a crush because Danny tells her that. And in that explanation of like, no, it didn't mean anything. Nothing happened because cheating is a deal breaker. I would never cheat. It would be the end of us. Sophie's like, maybe this isn't the good time to talk about me and Finley. All right, cool. So the next day, it's the wedding that we've all been waiting for, the wedding that's happening in episode one, which of course makes you think, is this actually going to happen? Probably not, because the only character that we have yet to see is, drumroll, Finley. But again, we'll get to that in a bit. So both of them look amazing. Sophie has this beautiful crimson red suit, which to me, I think was such a beautiful touch because it does have like a Spanish romanticism element to having the color red. But when you think about the color red in other aspects in other films, there's like a sexual thing behind it. There could be like the red woman or that kind of thing. And I feel as though that was a stylistic choice there. And Danny is wearing white in this beautiful dress. Very traditional, very classic, very pretty. And they're about to get married. Before they go down the aisle, though, Sophie tells Alice that she's not going to take her promotion offer because she and Danny want to start a family. They want to have kids. So Sophie wants to do it. And she tells Alice, love you, but I don't want to do it. And I also didn't tell Danny that I fucked Finley. Did I do something bad? To which Alice says, no, you didn't do anything bad. And okay, no problem. all right, see you out there. Good luck. But yeah, Sophie's freaking out, but she's like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I love Danny. I'm going to get married and not think about Finley, even though she's thinking about Finley all the time. On the side note, now we're seeing Alice, Nat, and the whole gang's there. Alice, Nat, Shane, and Bette are there. The only person that isn't there is Gigi, which makes sense if you looked at the trailer for the next episode. But Alice and Nat ask her, hey, how was the date? And then Bette is like, well, at first it was a disaster, but then Gigi was great. She did an amazing job. And I don't know about you, but I did notice a little bit of a look in Nat's eyes. I don't know what that look was. It was a little weird. I mean, she was down to talk about it. She was down to hear about Gigi's date with Bette, but I feel like a part of her probably wasn't happy. And again, this could just be the actor making this choice, or it could be the writers laying down a bit of a ground, a little bit of foundation for something to come that may incite more drama. Who knows? Who knows? So the ceremony is about to start. The minister or the officiant is about to speak. And then who do you think is showing up here? It's of course Finley. Finley shows up. And when I tell you this was predictable, I was kind of mad at how predictable this was, because you're looking at the camera is focused and it has Sophie and Danny on both sides, but it's such a very close like head shot of them. Like you can see both of their faces, but then they're kind of blurred a little bit and the focus is in the middle of the room. So of course that means let's focus in the middle of the room, which is the door to this venue of somebody arriving. And of course, Finley arrives. And she arrives fucking late. Like, I would be pissed. I mean, yes, I'd be pissed if I was Danny, because it's like, you're showing up to my wedding and you're fucking late. Like, how ballsy of you to show up late looking like you just came from like a sleepover with pajamas on or whatever. But yeah, like I would be upset about you cheating on and sleeping with my fiance, but I'm more upset that you're showing up to my wedding and just being even more disrespectful. But whatever, she doesn't say anything. And you're thinking Finley is probably going to sit with the rest of the crowd, or maybe waits until they do that predictable question of like, does anybody want to interrupt this wedding? Does anybody think that these two should not get married? I don't know why I did an English accent or whatever that was, but you know what I mean. And Finley just walks up to these two, interrupts their wedding, like drops the wedding and says, ah, you don't matter. Looks at Sophie and says, I love you. I love you. And you know what? I think you love me too. Pretty much she says that. She says it maybe nicer than what I just did, but that's the gist of it. She tells Sophie she loves her and I think you love me too. And Danny's like, what the fuck? Danny's like, wait, what is she talking about? And Sophie's like looking at Danny, looking at Finley, looking at Danny, not saying anything. And the moment that she's about to say something, the episode ends. And that's episode one. We did it. So here are some of my thoughts on what's happening. From the trailer, we knew that Gigi and Bette were going to be together. And now we know that from the upcoming trailer, or the trailer that's already been released for the upcoming episode/season, that they're going to hook up again. And we also know that there's going to be a bit of a blowout, a bit of a fight between Danny and Sophie, probably post-wedding or that very same day, where she's going to be like, fuck you, you cheated on me, this is never going to be fixed. Which could be the end of Danny and Sophie. It very well could be the end of Danny and Sophie, but we don't know. Maybe there's just going to be a whole drama with the two of them throughout the season. But a part of me thinks that they're going to be done after this. I don't know how you can come back from this. And because, yeah, I don't think these two can actually get married after this. After the Finley interruption, I mean, you know how much money went into that? I can't even imagine. I just can't. I will be shocked if that happens. But it won't. But it could. But it probably won't. But from the sneak peek of next episode, everything looks really juicy. There's definitely going to be some sort of love triangle with Gigi, Bette, and Danny now. There's going to be some sort of intense thing happening with Bette. And there seems to be a lot of triangles coming up, because we already know of the Carrie, Tina, Bette, and hopefully that gets squashed because it's just not necessary. Like, Bette, just move on. Leave Tina alone. Ugh. But yeah, there's going to be some triangles. There's going to be something between Bette, Gigi, and Danny. There's also going to be something happening between Tess and Shane. There may be some type of love, some type of something happening, which I ship it. To me, they look like they're going to be my favorite couple of the season if things go well. I think despite the fact that I don't really like Shane and I find her to be kind of a POS in a lot of situations and self-destructive, I really like Tess. I like her style. I like her confidence. I like her realism. And the two could maybe help each other out a lot. Or they could be really fucked up for each other. But I'm down to watch. But yeah, out of all the restaurants in Los Angeles, how is it that Tina and Carrie end up at the same one as Bette and Gigi? And I know I talked about this earlier, but I'm telling you, this type of storyline writing thing is just really bad. I don't get it. It's not necessary. Stop. Hopefully this was just like a test. Maybe they'll hear us that we don't like that and they won't do that again. Another thing I was happy about was when Danny and Sophie went to the club, they were listening to reggaeton, which I was super, super happy about because last season we got a bit of bachata thrown in there, which just highlighted to me the suspicion that Sophie could be Dominican of some sort. And not to say that only Dominicans listen to bachata and dance to bachata, but we are bachata. So everybody can listen to bachata. I suggest it. Bachata is sexy, but I just love listening to Latin music, Latinx music, hitting the waves, being on something as big as the L Word. It's extremely important to me, and I'm sure to a lot of other members of the Latinx community. So let's keep that going. And again, would you tell someone that you cheated on them at the club? Would it be like, hey, babe? Babe, yeah, no, this song is good. Yeah, no, I don't want another tequila. I'm really fucked up. Listen. Yeah, yeah, el conejo malo. Listen. I have to tell you something. I fucked my best friend. No, you wouldn't do that. Come on now. Like, yeah, that best friend that I slept with when you were ignoring me last year during a very important job and when my grandmother fell and almost died and you couldn't care less. Sorry about it. Probably not. To watch the second season of The L Word Generation Q, it does stream on Showtime every Friday at midnight Eastern Time, which means for all of those that are located in the Central Coast of the U.S., it's 11, baby. It's at 11 o'clock tonight. 11 o'clock on Thursdays, 11 p.m. And if you did like this episode, give it a like. Submit a 5-star review, a rating, if you want more L Word season 2 reviews or content, let me know by dropping me a DM on Instagram at moviesallaqueer or by sending me an email at moviesallaqueer@gmail.com. This was Sarita Ramirez. Stay safe, enjoy your life, and I will see you next week with another episode. Bye.